Let's stand this evening. Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with your love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with your love. Oh, keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with the song and the smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, soon the rain
and a smile. Oh, fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Is that your desire this evening? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to be gathered together again to worship the Lord. And we want to bring several prayer requests before the Lord in prayer. I want to remember Sister Patty Hansel's boss. Her daughter passed away suddenly, and she was only in her 40s. Please remember that family in prayer. And also, Brother Darrell requests prayer for Isaiah. He's not feeling well this evening. I want to remember him in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you come this evening and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Just thankful that the Lord kept us from the storms, watched over us. He's a mighty big God, isn't he? Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. And Lord, we've gathered together. There's something down on the inside of us that draws us, Lord, or Jesus. It's just not tradition, Lord. It's not just trying to satisfy the pastor or the deacons or whomever, Lord, but Lord, there's truly a desire down in us that we want fellowship, we want communion, Lord, with one another and with you. So we've come, Lord, for our lick of fire to be added to someone else's lick of fire. And Lord, believing that that pillar of fire will be made manifest in our midst this evening, Lord. That's our heart's desire, Lord, is to see you. Heavenly Father, as I was telling the brother the other day, I saw Jesus in him. Lord, that's what our heart's desire is, that Jesus Christ would be manifested through his bride in this day and age that we live in. Lord, these requests that are laying here before us, Lord, we don't understand sometimes why things happen and things go the way that they do, but Lord, we know that you know all things. You're all powerful. You're omniscient. You're all present, Lord. There's nothing, Lord, that gets by you. There's nothing that you miss. And Heavenly Father, you have a purpose. You have a plan in what's going on in these lives. We just ask, Lord, that if it's just, Lord, like it was in the Bible, just to show the power of God, Lord, that the power of God would be demonstrated in these lives and healings would come about. Comfort would be given to this one that lost a loved one, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just give you this service. We give you ourselves. Every song that is sung, every word that is spoken, Lord, may it be for your glory and for your praise. Lord, as we go from this place tonight, we'll be careful to give you the glory and you the honor. Heavenly Father, for it all belongs to you. You're the only one amongst us that's worthy. And we just want to raise our hands and praise you and say thanks for all that you've done for us, for the salvation of our souls, for the healing of our bodies, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, for the fact that we know that you're coming to catch us away one of these days. Lord, we know it's imminent. We just ask, Lord Jesus, that we would be prepared and we'd be watching and waiting for that moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Oh, where do I go? I go.
stand when I need a shelter, when I need a friend. Go to the rock, oh, let's stand and sing it. I go to the rock of my salvation, go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. Rock I stand when I need a shelter, when I need a friend. I go to the rock. Shake somebody's hand tonight.
Help me sing this tonight. Oh, you could lock me up in prison and even throw away the key. Oh, you could take away my from these eyes that now can see, or deprive me of the food I eat, and go free. Oh, is that how you feel tonight? He said that I could still go free. Church, tell me what kind of a man, oh, would reach down his hands and to dawn the road of an earthly man.
flesh and bone, and then to later trot down that lonesome path that led.
Denomination I belong to. Oh, but he said that I could still go free. Oh, tell me what kind of a man would ever reach down. I was not fit to kill, but then the man on that cross, he put my name in his will, and he said that I could still go free. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you tonight. Lord, you didn't have a checklist for us to fill out. You didn't have a questionnaire form that we had to be able to meet before we met your requirements, Father. But Lord, you came and you gave your life. You shed your blood freely so that we could be saved. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Lord, we didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. All of our righteousness was as filthy rags in your eyes, Father. But you came and, Lord, you clothed us in your righteousness. Oh, we're thankful tonight, Father. We're a blessed people to realize that, Lord, it's not because that we willed it. It's not because that we desired it. It's not because that we did enough works to earn it. But it was because you said that we could go free, Father. It's because you looked down through time by predestination. You saw us in your thinking and you predestinated us before the foundation of the world, Lord. Oh, what a blessed people we are tonight to know that we're free and that who the Son has set free is free indeed. You didn't just set us part of the way free, but you set us completely free, Father. Help us to recognize it tonight, that we don't have to be bound down by any man's ideas or by our own circumstances or our own flaws or our own insecurities, Father, but we're free tonight. Oh, help us, Lord, to embrace that tonight. Lord, that we're free in you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, that there was a price on our head because we had been sold into bondage under the fall. But you came and redeemed us out of the pawn shop. We don't have to be bound anymore, but we're free. Thank you, Father. Thank you for coming, Lord. When we couldn't help ourselves, thank you for coming and helping us. When we couldn't deliver ourselves, thank you for coming and delivering us. When we couldn't save ourselves, Lord, thank you for coming and saving us. When we couldn't heal ourselves, Lord, thank you for coming and healing us, Father. Lord, we're depending on you again tonight, Lord. May you just move in a special way as you see fit for this service, Lord. We love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, you ready to have church tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. St. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. We want to pick up in the life of Jesus when he was here on earth in a flesh body. Along this thought that we've been thinking on and speak the word. Philip asked me tonight, he said, Daddy, he said, are you going to stay on this topic till you die? And then the next pastor that comes along will think of a new topic. I said, I don't know, I've been on a long time, but I haven't been on that long. I've taught on some other series, so we'll get through it eventually with the help of the Lord. St. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. I want you to notice this statement. Jesus is sent this request not by a Jew, not by a Galilean or a Nazarene, one of his local neighbors, but this centurion, a Roman soldier, comes and sends a messenger beseeching him to come and pray for his servant. And he could have said, well, you know, you Romans are the cause of the problem right now in our area anyhow, and you've got us in a situation that we don't want to be in. We don't feel like we're free because we're under Roman rule and we have to pay your Roman taxes. And why should I come and do anything for you when you're technically my enemy? But he didn't say that. He said, I will come and heal him. He didn't say, I'll see what I can do. He didn't say, I'll do my best. He didn't say, well, I might be able to heal him if your faith is strong enough or if your works are good enough. He said, I will come and heal him. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come. And he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What a rebuke it was to the very people that he was sent to, but yet the Bible said he came into his own, and his own received him not. And here he had come with this sign, and they were looking for a Messiah. They were crying out for a Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah to come and deliver them from the Roman rule and to come and be a great king and set before them. And they were looking for some great mighty man with a crown on. And God sent him a baby in a manger, and they failed to recognize it. And here, as we began to look at it last week, he begins to go and perform signs and wonders and miracles before their eyes. And many of his own people, many of his own friends said that he's crazy, he's lost his mind. Many of his own, the priests of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, when they should have recognized this is the word being made flesh, this is what Isaiah promised, this is what Zechariah promised, this is what the prophets of old had told us to look for. He's fulfilling the word before our very eyes. Instead of saying that, they said he's Beelzebub and he's possessed of Beelzebub and he's casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub, and they failed to recognize what he was doing, but yet the very word was being fulfilled before their eyes. And a Roman comes and says, would you come and pray for my servant that he's sick? And then he sends word again. He says, no, don't even come. I'm not worthy that you should even enter under my roof. You just speak the word because I believe that you have authority to do so. He knew that he was a man, just a mortal, that had been given an authority by the emperor of Rome, that if he told a group of men, you get on your horse and you go to this city, then they got on their horses and they went to that city. And if he told another man, you come from out of this other area and I want you to come and do something for me, it didn't matter where the man was or what he was in the middle of. When they sent the word and said, the centurion has bid you to come, he would stop what he was doing and he would go because of the authority that the emperor had placed him under. And he was able to recognize that Jesus didn't just have authority from some political leader or from some church leader, but he had authority from God himself. And being able to recognize this, he thought, if me as a mortal have the authority that I do to say go, and somebody goes and come and they come, then how much more does this man, being the very Son of God, have power over devils to say go and they'll go? He said, I haven't found faith so great, no, not in all Israel. What a rebuke it was to them to be able to sit there and see the miracles and the signs and the wonders that he was doing. And most of them wanted to come. If you read the chapters before in the Gospels, many of them were wanting to come and just touch his garment or just come and have him lay hands on him. And many of them were being healed. But this man had a greater revelation even than that. He said, I don't have to touch his garment. I don't have to have him lay hands on me. But if he'll just speak the word, that'll be enough for me. Jesus said, I haven't found this great of faith in all of Israel. In verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. I believe God is still just as much God as he was when this centurion servant was healed. I believe he's still a God that can heal instantly tonight. I believe he's still a God that can deliver instantly tonight. I believe he's a God that can provide instantly. Maybe you came into this service and you sat down before the service started, or in the car on the way here tonight, you prayed and you said, God, just let him speak something tonight that is for me personally. Well, is that enough, or do you need more? He's still God tonight. He's still able to speak tonight. He's still able to heal tonight. He's still able to do whatever, exceedingly abundantly, but beyond whatever you can even imagine. Oh my, I want you to think tonight, we're promised of a land beyond the river, that there's no sin, there's no sickness, there's no old age, there's no aches, there's no pains. There's no depression, there's no anxiety, there's no discouragement. There's no worrying about loved ones. There's no toiling and struggling and just trying to get by. But it's a land of perfect peace and rest. And the lion will lay down with the lamb and everything will be perfect. And you imagine that the best that you can, and you're not even close. Because the Bible said it hasn't even entered into the hearts of man what it's going to be for us over there. You imagine the very best that you can imagine, the best taste in food, the most beautiful skies that you can imagine, the birds singing, no germs, no diseases, no more sinuses, no sinus problems, sniffing and getting stopped up and snotting all over the place, no back pain, no leg pain. You imagine it as best you can, and you're not even close to what he has planned for us. Greater than Solomon is here, 1963. Brother Branham, speaking of this Roman centurion, he said, what did he recognize? That every disease was under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just stop there tonight. And, you know, some of you, you know, I know Brother Arnie has because he confessed it to us, but I'm sure there's others of us here tonight that have been pulled over before. But there's something about it that, you know, if there's a man that pulls you over in New Albany here, and he stops you and begins to write you a speeding ticket, and you look at his car and you look at his shirt and it says that he's a policeman out of Chicago, Illinois, you can say, you have a good day, sir. And you just keep rolling on down the road. Why? He's not in his jurisdiction. He has no more right to tell you that he's going to write you a ticket than I do, because he has no authority in this area. And the centurion, he had authority over a certain group of men, a certain number of men, a certain local area that the emperor of Rome had placed him into jurisdiction over. And whatever he said in that area and to the group of men that were assigned to him went. It didn't matter what anybody else thought. Well, I think I've got a better way to do it. I think it'd be best to do it that way. Well, that's all right, but I'm the supreme authority here. That's what goes. He was the centurion. He could say that. Now, if he went to Rome and he tried to tell the emperor what to do, he had no jurisdiction to do that. He had absolutely no jurisdiction over the emperor or in Rome, but in the area of Galilee or Judea there that he was stationed, he had jurisdiction over that area, and his word was the same as the law, and it was enforced by the emperor. But he recognized that Jesus' jurisdiction was not just to Nazareth, it wasn't just to Galilee, it wasn't just to Judea, but he had jurisdiction over every disease, over every sickness, over every torment, over everything that would bind someone or oppress them. He had jurisdiction. It wasn't just to that physical geographic location, but somebody in Zimbabwe, somebody in Jeffersonville, somebody in Tucson, somebody in Trinidad, wherever it would be, he has jurisdiction tonight. He's not limited by space or by time, but he has jurisdiction over the whole thing. David said, oh, if I could make my bed and take it down into hell, he'd find me. And if I could go up into the heavens, he's there. Anywhere I go, I'm still in his jurisdiction.
Amen.
You might have thought you'd hide out from him in a bar or something, in some drug addict's house with needles in your arms, or you might have tried to hide from him in a denominational church somewhere. You might have tried to hide from him down in an alley or somewhere, but he found you because you couldn't get away from his jurisdiction.
Amen.
Oh my. He said, what did he recognize? That every disease was under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. All he had to do was speak the word.
Right.
And he's already spoke it.
Amen.
See, and that's what I'm trying to do to get you people to recognize. Now, they're already crying impeachment about President Trump, and I'm not going to get into politics tonight, but they're already screaming, the Democrats are, about impeachment because of some of the executive orders that he's making. But, you know, they didn't say anything when their president was making executive orders like it was going out of style. But in all this, he has the jurisdiction to do that. There's certain things that he can't. He has to go through the Supreme Court to get things passed. And there's other things he can sit down and write it down. And if he says that's the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be because it's an executive order. But Jesus wasn't just limited to the United States. He wasn't just limited to a certain country or a certain area of the globe. But when Jesus speaks the word and he makes an executive order, I don't care what the devil said. I don't care what your neighbor said. I don't care what your pastor or your neighbor or your parents or somebody in the message that's been New Brother Branham or whatever it would be. I don't care what anybody said. When Jesus makes an executive order, that's the way it's going to be. You say, well, my boss said this, and the doctor said this, and the surgeon said that, and the lawyer said this. Jesus has jurisdiction over all of that.
Amen.
And when he speaks, I don't care what anybody else says. No, maybe their intentions are great. Maybe they feel like they're doing something good and doing something right. But when he speaks, that settles it.
Amen.
Oh, my. All he had to do was speak the word, and he's already spoke it, Brother Branham said. See, and that's what I'm trying to get you people to recognize, he says. Amen. He doesn't have to come back again and say, by my stripes, you're healed. He doesn't have to come back again and say, I died to save you. He doesn't have to come back again and say, oh my, whosoever will, let him come. Or that if they repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they shall be saved and they'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't just for them, but it was unto their children and their children's children and as many as the Lord our God should call. He doesn't have to come back and say it again. He's already said it.
Yeah.
He's already spoke it.
Right.
Amen. If I got a speeding ticket down here and I went to the prosecuting attorney, I said, sir, I apologize. I'm a pastor. I was running a little late tonight. And it was just one of those moments where either you locked up the brakes or you went on through. And I chose to went on through not knowing that one of your city's finest was going to be sitting right there. And you know, it was just a kind of a call, whether it was pink or orange or yellow or what. But he gave me a ticket for it, and I'd appreciate you having a little grace. I'll do my best. And And if you take this away, you know, you put me on a time limit of 6 months or something, then I won't get any more tickets, and we'll just call it quits. And he says, you know what? I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate you coming down and talking to me. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to write that off of your record. And then, you know, somebody come down, maybe that same little policeman come down and spin in his baton and say, you know what? I've got something on you. There's something on your record. And I'd say, oh, no, it's not on my record. He said, oh, yeah, it is. I was there when I wrote you the ticket. And I'd say, yeah, but I was there when it was erased. Amen. Satan will come along. He'll try to say, now, I was there when you fell last Thursday, and I was there when you did this, and I was there when you thought that, and I was there, and I saw, and I put that thought in your mind, and I saw the little mistake you made, and I saw how you fell, and I know that that's on your record. Well, I've got news for you, Satan. It's not on my record anymore, because it's been erased in the sea of forgetfulness. And you might remember it, but you don't matter, and who matters doesn't even remember it. Amen. He's got jurisdiction to do those things. He who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Satan might come, the little jailer with his keys, and say, oh my, you're in for it. No, I'm not in for it, because one higher than you set me free. You can claim your keys and your chains all that you want, but my jurisdiction leader already took care of it for me.
Amen.
Oh my. He says again on Victory Day in 1963... He said, same thing we have today. Speak the word over the sick. It says, Brother Bram snaps his fingers and watch it heal. And do these other things that God's word spoke through human lips. You say to this mountain, be moved. And don't doubt, but believe what you said will come to pass. You can have what you said. Jesus said so. Now we believe that and hold to it and take it and believe it. Again, amen. And who is God in 1950? He says, notice, now be sure to get this. He said, if a man under, I'm a man under authority also. And if I say to this man, you go do it, he will do it. And if I say to this man, you come here, he will come. I'm under authority. And them who are under me has to obey me. And he knew that was the Son of God, and that every sickness and every demon was under him. And all he had to do is just speak the word, not pray, just speak the word. That's all.
Amen.
Jesus didn't stop and say a Hail Mary.
Come on.
He didn't stop and rub a rosary. He didn't stop and have to pray through like many of us would have to get through to the victory before we could pray for somebody. He just spoke the word. He was the word.
Amen.
He didn't have to say, thus saith the Lord. He was thus saith the Lord.
Right.
And when he spoke, it was going to take place. It might have seemed ridiculous. It might have seemed scientifically impossible, whatever it would be. But he had jurisdiction. And just as this man knew that the men that were under him, that whatever he said they had to do, this man that he was referring to, there wasn't anything that wasn't under him.
Amen.
The heavens were under him. The skies were under him. Principalities and powers and angels and kings and monarchs and priests and prophets and pastors and evangelists and all, whatever it is, whether they were good or bad or ugly or indifferent or whatever it would be, it was all under him. All things were made by him and for him, and he had authority. If he could step out on the edge of the boat there and say, peace be still, and the disciples recognize this is a man that doesn't only have power over demons, he has power over the winds and the waves. He has power over nature. He has power over the swine to go and speak and the demon spirit go and get in those swine and then run over the cliffs. He has power to multiply bread and to multiply loaves and fishes. And he has power to heal the paralytic and the epileptic and the diabetic and the cancer ridden and the depressed and the discouraged and the demon possessed. He had power over it all.
Amen.
He didn't have to ask Satan's permission. Satan had to ask his permission.
Right.
Oh my. All he had to do is just speak the word. Not pray, just speak the word. That's all. And it would be done, because every demon would have to obey him. He said, do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Every demon will obey God. It has to. Everything obeys God. We believe that tonight, don't we?
Amen.
What about this last sentence? And it'll obey you. If you have faith.
All right.
Every demon will obey God. We don't have a problem with that. Praise the Lord. Bless God. We know that. We see it in the Word. Every demon will obey God. Everything will obey God. That's wonderful. You know, the Baptist and the Catholic and the Presbyterian get that far. But he takes it on further and he said, everything will obey you if you have faith. That's not something new that Brother Branham came up with. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in your heart, it'll be picked up and cast into the sea. Now, it may not happen right then. Maybe, as Brother Branham said, maybe there's just a few little pebbles that begin to fall off the back of that mountain, but it's already in motion.
Right.
You say, well, I prayed and, you know, there were some excavators that came and they moved this thing and it wasn't anything supernatural, really. It moved, didn't it?
Amen.
Many times we're looking for some big sign out of heaven and the heavens depart and 12,000 angel salute to come down and speak to us and say, now it's going to be okay. This is how it's all going to be. But God doesn't usually operate like that.
Right.
Sometimes he uses a mechanic. Sometimes he uses a plumber, an electrician, or sometimes he uses somebody to help us out, to do something for us, and we think, oh my, that was just an answer to prayer, but I didn't see no angels. I didn't see a pillar of fire, hear an audible voice, but if the word was spoke and it took care of itself, then who was it that was leading that person to do that?
All right.
Oh my. There wasn't 12,000 angels that came down and folded the napkins and laid out the silverware and polished the dishes and set them out and unfolded the chairs and made sure everything was clean and the tablecloths were nice and pressed when they had the Passover. But somebody maybe woke up about 7 in the morning and thought, I don't know why. I don't have any family coming in town this year. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just feel like I'm going to have company tonight. I'm going to prepare the upper room and have a table ready. And they got up and they begin to work and they begin to press and they begin to fold and they begin to sort and they begin to wash and shine the silverware and lay it all out. And about the time they got done, was wore out and ready to take a nap, there was a knock at the door, and one of the disciples says, the master needs a place where he can have the feast of the Passover with his disciples. They said, oh, okay. Well, it just so happens I have one ready for you. 12,000 angels didn't do the work, but there may have been 12,000 angels there orchestrating the person to do the work. 12,000 angels maybe weren't the one that swerved the wheel of that semi-truck to save you on the highway the other night, but there may have been 12,000 angels standing there guiding him and keeping him awake so he would know what to do and when to do it.
Right.
Many times we're looking for some great something in the supernatural. We may never even see that side of it. Yet I believe that aspect is there, working and moving and protecting and leading and guiding. But many times it comes so simple. And well, I prayed for this situation to change. And I thought, you know, somebody was going to hand me a winning lottery ticket. Or I thought, you know, somebody was going to leave me an inheritance or something. And all it was some brother down at the church just handed me a check enough to finish my bills for the rest of the month. And it wasn't anything earth shattering or earth moving. I didn't hear any angelic choirs. But who led that man to do that?
Right.
Amen. God still speaks and mountains still move.
Amen.
It'll obey you if you have faith, he said.
Amen.
The God of this evil age in 1965, he said, and now we are seated with him with power and authority over every devil. He said, oh, you could only believe what God has given. But if you're not seated there, you don't have it. And if you're seated there and don't believe it and afraid to move, you'll never use it. But if you're seated there, you will use it, for you've been ordained to do what you do.
Amen.
You've been ordained tonight to have power over demons.
Right.
Maybe you just thought you was a housewife, or maybe you just thought you was a carpenter, or maybe you just thought you was a lay member, and you just thought, well, I'm not really much. I don't really have a whole lot I can do. You've been ordained to have power over the enemy.
Amen.
You've been ordained to have power over demons. You've been ordained. I don't care if it's the smallest child that's accepted the Lord as their Savior, or if it's the oldest person that's been in the message the longest, or whatever it would be. You have been ordained as a representative of heaven and earth. You have been ordained as a representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Brother Bram talks about that man that he was a slave, and they went down there, and the man was one of the slave owners came down, and they would have auctions and things and sell the slaves back and forth. And this man came to this great ranch or plantation, whatever it was, and he was looking out the different ones. He said, "I want to buy that slave right there." And he said, "Oh, sir, he's not for sale." And he said, "Well, I noticed," he said, "he acts a little different than the rest of them." He said, "Do you feed him different?" "No, he eats in the galley the same as the rest of them." "Well, is he the boss over the rest of them?" "No, he's just a slave." "Well, what's different? I see the others. Their shoulders are stooped, and they have just a poor demeanor on their face, always got a frown, and always posting something negative on Facebook or Twitter, and they just, oh, sorry. Always have something negative to say, and they're always complaining, but there's something so much different about him. But yet you say he's just a slave like the rest of them." "Oh, yes. You know, I wondered about that too. How in the same circumstances with the same obstacles and all the same burdens that this man's reaction could be so much different than the others. Until one day I begin to inquire and investigate the situation a little bit. And I begin to sit down and research back some of his papers. And I found out that way over in the homeland, he's a child of the king. And he holds himself different. He acts different. He has a different outlook because he knows that even though in his fallen estate, yet that he's royalty and that he represents his tribe back home." Oh, I hope you can recognize tonight that we're representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We shouldn't just say, "Well, you know, I live a little bit higher than Laodicea, and I'm not quite as bad as the other guys at work, and I'm surviving." Oh, I want it to be so much more than that. But I want to recognize that my goal isn't just to live just a little higher than the rest of Laodicea, but I want to be a representative of my King. I want to be a representative of my Father, because over in the homeland where I come from, he's not just the king, he's the King of Kings. He's not just the Lord, but he's the Lord of Lords. Amen. And if we're here to represent him tonight, when the United States sends an ambassador over to another nation, that ambassador has to be very careful, because what they say in the speeches and in the meetings and things that they have, they're representing the United States as an ambassador to that nation. And how careful we should be when we talk, and how careful we should be with our walk and our attitude and the way we treat others, because our representation should reflect back on what our inheritance is. And if we claim to be sons and daughters of the King, then our actions should reflect the same. People should be able to see us out at the restaurants and in the malls and at our jobs and at our schools and say, "There's something different about that person. Oh my, I've seen fake and I've seen fanaticism and I've seen hypocrisy, but there's something real about that person. There's something different. They may look like some of the rest of the people. They may have some of the same trials as the rest of the people, but over in the homeland, their daddy is the king." We're representatives tonight. And if we're representatives and ambassadors of the kingdom, when an ambassador is sent, he has a certain amount of authority, things that he can say and treaties that he can sign and things that he has power to do. And God didn't send us here powerless. He didn't send us here without authority. But he said that, Brother Bam said he would bankrupt heaven. Amen. To fulfill his word for you.
Amen.
He's given us power and authority over the devil. That's what you've been ordained to do tonight. Is that just so that you can go out and say, you know, poof, I'm going to speak this, and I'm going to speak that, and I'm going to name it and claim it? No, it's so that you can yield yourself to whatever he would have you to say or do. When that ambassador goes over there, he doesn't say, "Well, I know that the president, the Supreme Court, they have this feeling, but I'm of a little different mind, and I'm going to straighten out some things with China or Paris or some of these different places while I'm over there." He would find himself in a heap of trouble very quickly, because he would find out that his word wasn't backed up by the authority that was supposedly behind him. But when he goes and he speaks the same thing that the authority behind him is speaking, I hope you can get it tonight, then it doesn't matter what the news reporters say, or what the other country says or whatever. If he says what the authority behind him is saying, then the authority behind him will back up his word.
Right.
Amen. Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said it would get to a place to where the bride would have, "Thus saith the Lord," or she would keep still. And he said that what she said, the prophet would have said, and what the prophet would have said would have been in the word, and they would all be saying the same thing that the Spirit was saying.
Yeah.
Amen. And if we're speaking the very thought of God, then God's obligated to back it up.
Amen.
Oh my. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children be first filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this same. He didn't say because she belonged to the right denomination, or because of all her good holy works that she had done, or because she had met some checklist of things that was required of her. For this same. What did she do? She said the right thing.
Amen.
For this same, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now, this woman had every right to be upset. She had every right to be offended. He not only called her, but her entire race a bunch of dogs. And oh my, today with our political correctness, we would have got all puffed up and upset and said, I'll never go back and hear that guy again. But what he was doing, he was just testing her faith a little bit to see if she was desperate enough to receive what she was talking about. It's one thing to come, as we said Sunday morning, say, I want to be delivered. I want to be healed. That's wonderful. But your actions should be appropriate with your confession. Your actions should be to a spot to where you get desperate enough to where you say, Lord, I don't care. I don't care if it takes 30 years. I don't care how long it takes or what it takes for me to do. I don't care if I've got to go back to the altar over and over again. I don't care if I've got to pray through night after night at my home. I don't care how much I've got to do and what it takes. I want to be delivered. I want this thing Amen. Gone from my life. You get desperate and see what God will begin to do in your life.
Amen.
But just saying a few words, the devil can do that. The devil can do that, but when it comes to putting it into action, there was something about it. He could quote the Bible, he could quote the law of Moses just as well as Jesus could, as we looked at last week, but he couldn't put it into action. But here stood the word in action in front of him, and even though maybe he could memorize it and he could quote it just as good as Jesus, he couldn't put it into action.
Amen.
Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost, 1959. Brother Branham said, when the little girl died, Jairus' daughter, the priest said, come lay hands on her and she'll live. But when the Roman centurion, the Gentile, said, I'm not worthy, you come under my roof, speak the word. That's it, see. The Syrophoenician woman, Greek actually, what she was when Jesus said to her, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She said, that's true, Lord, but the dogs under the table eats the children's crumbs. He said, for this saying, the devil has left your daughter. Say good things then. Say something good about somebody. Oh my. Talk about Jesus. Say something loyal. Say something real. That's the way to get rid of devils. I thought we jumped up and down and screamed real loud. I thought that's how the Pentecostal taught us to get rid of devils. Or we grabbed them and shook them real hard or kicked them out the door. He said, say something good.
Amen.
Say something nice about somebody. Say something loyal. Say something honest. Talk about Jesus. Say something real. That's the way to get rid of devils. If we would spend less time picking apart everybody else and their character flaws and the things that we don't like about them. And, oh, did you see the way they did this? And did you see the way they did that? And, oh, I can't believe what Sister So-and-so said. And did you see the way she wore her hair Sunday? Oh, my, she just looked ridiculous. And if we'd stop doing as much of this in the negative and say something real.
Right.
Say something honest. Say something true. Talk about Jesus. Say something good about somebody. He said that's the way to get rid of devils. You know the way to stop that complex that Satan's trying to build in your life about somebody, and oh my, somebody get around you and begin to talk bad about them. You say, oh, you know, I kind of thought that about them. I kind of figured they was that way. You know how to stop that devil? Say something good about that person.
Amen.
Pray for that person. The next time somebody comes and begins to say something bad about that person, you say, oh my, I remember a time, share a testimony about them, something good that God did for them or did through them, and it'll put a stop to that thing. Or you can sit there and feed that devil if you want, but I'd rather feed the white dog than the black dog.
Yeah.
That's the way to get rid of devils, he said. He never said, he never prayed for the girl. He never once said one thing about her being healed. He just said, for this saying. Amen. He says again in Perseverance in 1963, he said, are we ready to take the crumbs? Are we ready to humble ourselves? She was. She was ready to humble herself. Faith always admits the word right. Faith is always humble. Faith humbles itself. Now, she was just looking for the crumbs. He said, faith always admits the word is right. There's many people that they want to find an excuse for themselves and their fault and their mistake. And honestly, if people would be real good and honest and sincere with themselves and take a good, honest look in the mirror and be genuine between them and God, that's why about 98% of the people have left the message, is because they didn't want to be condemned for what they was doing. They wanted to hide their sins, or they wanted to find a way to say that they was okay. And so they had to prove the message wrong so that they could do what they wanted to go out and do without it condemning them. And if they could feel like they could say that, like a man walking through a graveyard whistling, trying to think that he's okay, that what they've tried to do is just try to say, well, you know, it was wrong over here, and, you know, this happened over there. And they try to interject all these things. Why? Because it doesn't go along with their intellectual conception, or it doesn't go along with their lifestyle. And they, instead of changing their lifestyle or their intellectual conception to fit the word, they try to change the word to fit them.
Right.
It'll never work, because faith always admits the word is right.
Amen.
As we looked at a few months ago with Elisha's ministry, when Naaman came down there and Elisha told him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, that was a little too much for his pride, and he thought he had a better way. But if he wouldn't have admitted that the word was right, he would have never got delivered. He might have had a prettier river to dip in. He might have had a better intellectual conception. But until he admitted that the word was right and came the way of the word, there wasn't going to be any deliverance for him. Faith always admits the word is right. I'm man enough to admit I've made many mistakes. I've made many errors. I've been wrong many times. I've fallen and been an idiot. But I've never said that this was wrong to try to cover it up. I've never said that the Bible or the message was wrong so that I could try to justify myself. No, I said, ouch on me, sorry, Lord, your word's right and I'm wrong, and help me not to do that again. But it was me that was wrong, never the word. Faith always admits the word right. Luke chapter 6, verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. Now, I want you to notice this. They weren't looking to see whether or not he had the power to heal the man. They already knew that. They, in their legalistic man-made ideas, were trying to find fault with him. So they thought, well, if he just heals on the Sabbath, that won't fit our legalistic, narrow-minded way of thinking. Brother Bram said some people are so narrow-minded that they couldn't see around a pencil if you put it between their eyes. And so instead of looking to see whether this man could be delivered or not, instead of looking to see if the power of Jesus could heal this man of his infirmity, they were looking at, is he going to do this on the Sabbath or not? Is he going to mess with our legalistic way of thinking? And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. Oh, I love that. He knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Now, he knows that they're going to criticize this. He knows that this goes against their theology. He knows it goes against their man-made teaching. He knows they're going to be offended. He knows they're going to get so mad that they're going to try to find a way to kill him over things like this, because he keeps messing up their legalistic way of doing things. But he didn't call the man off in a closet somewhere and say, now listen, I want to tell you something. I can help you, but you got to be quiet about this. He said, come out here and stand in the midst. He knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And he looked around about upon them all, and he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. They had all these ideas, and they had all their legalistic ways of doing things. You got to wash the pot this way, and so many rotations this way, and so many rotations that way. And you got to wash the pans this way, and you got to wash your hands this way. And they even had a way that they had to wash their hands, a certain technique and different things. Their man-made traditions were making the traditions of man were making the commandments of God none effect. And all their goings about and doing and two steps forward and three steps backwards. And you got to do this and you got to do that. And standing up and singing the psalms in the synagogue. And the very word made flesh walking down in their midst. And they failed to recognize it. But he stood up and all their arguing and all their back and forth over whether it was right and whether it was wrong. He just said, stand up in the midst and stretch forth thine hand. You know, that wasn't just for way back there in Jesus's day. I was reading A Prophet Visits Africa. About a week ago, I guess, and I read this story. I thought it was interesting and how it paralleled, and it's on page 100 of A Prophet Visits South Africa, if you want to go back and read it later. Mr. Statscliffe is telling some of the testimonies of the things that happened in the meetings. And he said, I recall during the message as I was sitting on the platform watching the people and their reaction to the message of faith being brought to them. I noticed one lady who was sitting about 30 or 40 feet in front of the platform, and she was looking at her hands. Now, Brother Branham's up there preaching. He's up there trying to build the faith, and she's sitting there looking at her hand. Now, she wasn't filing her fingernails or clipping her fingernails, but she was looking at her hand. He said, you could see by the large knuckles and the apparent stiffness in the fingers that she had suffered from arthritis. And she was unable to move her fingers. But as she had heard the word of God expounded, her faith had grown. And she looked down at these crippled fingers and tried to move them. At first, there was practically no movement at all. She continued to exercise her faith. And as she did, it became evident that she was able to move them more than she had before. Now, she's not healed yet, Brother Hoover. But she's able to do this.
Right.
And a few minutes ago, she wasn't able to do that. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I can just maybe wiggle my pinky. I couldn't do it before. Well, you just keep wiggling that until something else takes place.
Right.
She was able to realize, you know what? There's something taking place. A few minutes ago, I couldn't do this. Now I can do that. She was able to move them more than she had before. After a few more minutes, she opened and closed her hand with perfect ease. A smile came over her face as she realized she was free from the crippled condition which had been caused by arthritis. I believe he's still Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
He's still Hebrews in 13:8 tonight. Amen. That wasn't just for Jesus' day. That wasn't just for South Africa or for 1957. He's still God tonight. He's still the same God. They said again on page 103 of the same sermon book. It said one man who had been crippled for many years decided to try out his legs. Oh, my. He had been crippled for many years, but he decided, I'm going to try out my legs tonight, listen to the word of God, and said, which had been made whole. And he ran through the streets. Here he is. This man had been crippled a few minutes before, but a prophet of God goes to South Africa and is standing there preaching the word to the people. And this man realizes, you know what? I'm feeling a little strength that I've never felt in many, many years. I'm feeling some blood flow, and I'm feeling some warmth that I haven't felt in years. And he said, I'm going to try out these legs. And he takes off running down through the streets of South Africa, this crippled man.
Right.
Brother Hoover said, ask the blind man. He saw it all.
Right.
He saw that crippled man running by, and he asked him, what are you doing? He said, I was trying to crutch. Or saw that person going by and said, what were you doing? I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run by this way?
Right.
He was telling the deaf man about these things that he saw. But if you don't believe me, just ask the blind man because he saw it all. He ran through the streets and was chased by a policeman who demanded an explanation. This man probably thought, here this guy's running down through the streets of South Africa. Either he stole something or he's running from somebody. He's up to no good. So the policeman starts chasing after this crippled man. Maybe it took him a while to catch him. Can you imagine? Why are you so winded, officer? I was trying to catch that crippled boy.
Right.
Was he rolling downhill in his wheelchair or what? No, he was running full on. I thought you said he was crippled. That's right, he was crippled. Was, past tense. He ran through the streets and was chased by policemen who demanded an explanation. Needless to say, he received it. Oh, I would like to have been there and heard his explanation. What are you doing running through the streets, son? Oh, sir, you don't realize I haven't walked in 17 years or however many years. I just had to try these things out once around the block and see how they did.
Oh my. Amen. Hallelujah.
Who is God in 1950? He said, Joshua stopped the sun. Is that true? Somebody said, all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible. But all things are possible to you also. Amen. Nothing impossible to them that believe. All things are possible. Brought right down and made you, if you just know who God was. He said, well, I'm afraid the church doesn't know their authority. I'm afraid that Holy Ghost born men don't realize their authority. Where are the authority that God has permitted to his church? I'll give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. I give you power over serpents and over all kinds of diseases. Oh, everything, and nothing shall harm you. He said, exercise your faith. Let it loose. Let God have his way. God will grant it to you.
Amen.
Oh my. Look around at some of us and we need some exercise. Let's be honest with ourselves. But I don't want to just exercise my body. I want to exercise my faith tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe it's been sitting stagnant and maybe you've got faith cramps tonight and you think, oh my, if I did anything, I'd pull a faith muscle. Why don't you exercise your faith a little bit tonight? Amen. Maybe you couldn't reach down and touch your toes when you came in. Why don't you exercise those faith muscles and see if you can? Maybe you couldn't open that hand all the way when you came in. Why don't you exercise your faith and see tonight? Maybe you had back pain when you came in tonight. Why don't you stand up and give God glory and say, I'm healed tonight. Maybe you came in discouraged and depressed, and maybe Satan was trying to bind you down and fight you and lie to you. Why don't you exercise your faith muscles tonight and tell him he's a liar? Amen. I want to exercise my faith.
Yes.
Amen. That's why many times people come up in the prayer line. It may shock them sometimes, because many times me and the brothers talk to them as though they're already healed. And they might think, goodness, what are they trying to say? But they are already healed. They was healed 2,000 years ago.
Right.
I'm just trying to exercise their faith muscles a little bit.
Right.
To remind them. Amen. Whatever you loose on earth, he said, I'll loose in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Me and Brother Hoover was trying to exercise some faith muscles the other night, weren't we, Brother Hoover?
Amen.
Amen. I believe God is doing some things.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe eternity only tells some of them, but I believe God is doing some things. I don't want my faith muscles to get stiff and stagnant and sloppy, but I want to keep them toned up and ready. When there's something that God wants us to do, I want my faith muscles to be exercised and ready.
Amen.
He said, let it loose. Let God have his way. God will grant it to you. He says again, and hear ye him, in 1960. He said, if you couldn't move a finger, move it now. If you couldn't hear out of one ear, put your finger in the other ear. Or no matter what you are, you'll never do no better until you exercise your faith.
Amen.
You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, I got this problem and I just can't. Well, you maybe couldn't when you came in, but why don't you exercise your faith and see if it's changed?
Come on, bro.
Oh, I don't have the victory, Brother Nathan. Well, why don't you exercise your faith and get you some victory? Oh, I just don't have joy like I should have. Why don't you exercise your faith muscles a little bit tonight? Get you some joy before you go out of here.
Amen.
Oh, I don't have that perfect love like I should. There's some people, I just get around them, I feel like I can just slap them upside the head. Why don't you exercise your faith muscles tonight and get past some of that?
Amen.
No matter what you are, he said, you'll never do no better until you exercise your faith. Give God a chance at you now. Give God a chance to do something for you. The prayer of faith has been prayed, hands has been laid on you, and now, by the commandment of the Lord Jesus, I command that the devil leave you and every one of you to be made well. Amen. He says, you believe it? I believe we've still got authority tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have power to knock over a snowman hardly, but I've got authority.
All right.
I've got authority. Not because I inherited it or because I deserved it or because I did enough good works or prayed long enough or listened to enough tapes to earn it, but I have authority because he commissioned us.
Amen.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing or pick up any serpent, it won't harm you. Don't worry, God's with you. Exercise your faith muscles tonight. Amen. If the musicians would come this evening. I believe he's just the same as when he walked the Sea of Galilee. I believe he's just the same tonight as when he stood there and he could speak through human lips again in this generation and say, I take every spirit under my control. I believe he's still that same Lord Jesus tonight. He's still a miracle worker. Oh, if we could just exercise our faith tonight. Anything could happen. You say, oh, I just don't know, Brother Nathan. If Brother Branham was here, I believe he could do this and he could say this and he could tell me that. That's right, he could. But Jesus Christ is still here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. He never left us. He said he never leave us nor forsake us. He's an ever-present help, even in times of trouble. What do you have need of tonight? Maybe you came in a certain way. Maybe you came in discouraged. Maybe you came in, you had a rotten day and you barely made it to church because just everything seemed like it was going wrong. Why don't you exercise your faith muscles tonight? Say, God, I don't want to walk out those doors the way I came in tonight. It was such a bad attitude when I came in, or I was so discouraged. I was so upset. I was so angry and bitter down in my heart about circumstances. I don't want to go out like that. Lord, I came in with this pain in my body. I came in with this sickness. I don't want to go out like that. I believe you're still God. I believe we still have authority over the devil tonight. Oh my. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I've read the quotes in the scriptures, and we've relayed the stories of things that you've done in days gone by. Lord, how it encourages us, Lord, and how it strengthens our faith, because you said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. And to look and to see what you've done in ages gone by, Lord, it encourages us because we know that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you're unchanging, that you don't change your ways of doing things. If you could heal the paralytic or the arthritic or the diabetic or the cancer-ridden from some other age, if you could heal those that had sickness in their body, if you had those that had scars emotionally or physically or mentally, if you could do it in some other day, you can still do it tonight because you're never changing. You haven't lost one bit of power, but you're just as powerful as when you spoke the sun and the moon and the stars and the very earth that we stand on that holds perfectly in orbit. When you spoke those things and you spoke those words, if you were powerful enough to speak galaxies and universes into existence, Lord, you're powerful enough to move our mountains tonight. You're powerful enough to come on the scene for the circumstances in our lives. Lord, if you was able to speak and create man out of the dust of the earth and him stand there lifeless, Brother Branham said, with his toes sticking in the mud, just looked like an animal. Then you came by and you breathed the breath of life into that body and he became a living soul. If you can form a body in that way, if you can come and speak through an angel and tell a little virgin that she would conceive, and you could create not only the seed but the egg and create a body, form it in the womb of that little virgin. If you could create a body that way and form it where there was nothing. If you could take from the side of Adam a rib and perform the most perfect surgery that's ever taken place, you didn't have to use a sedative or an anesthetic. But Lord, there wasn't even a scar on Adam. When he woke up, he didn't even remember the surgery. He didn't have to recover. He was already fully recovered. And there beside him stood a woman that you made. Brother Branham said she was the most perfect woman that ever stood on the face of the earth. If you can create in that way, where there was nothing, and then take a rib from that nothing and create something else from it, God, how much more you can touch these mortal bodies and quicken them. How much more, Lord, when the body is already formed, that you can touch it and repair a part of it. Maybe it's some sickness. Maybe it's something down on the inside. Maybe it's that their spirit has been discouraged, or their mind has been tormented, or their emotions have been scarred. Lord, if you can create all those things in the human body, how much more can you touch them and heal them? If you can take and mold us like a potter on his wheel and make us into something. Oh, Lord, how much more you can repair that something once it's broken, once it's damaged, once it's injured. Lord, you made these bodies. May you just touch them and heal them tonight. Lord, I rebuke every devil that would try to hinder, every demon of torment, every demon of doubt, every demon of unbelief, of sickness, of torment, of disease, of criticism, every demon of temptation, every demon of addiction. Lord, I don't have any power on my own to do that, but I have authority in the name of Jesus. Lord, because you said what we bind on earth, you'd bind in heaven. What we loosed on earth, you'd loose in heaven. Lord, so by the authority that you've given in your word, not only to me, not only to other pastors, not only to Brother Branham, but Lord, you gave it to your body. Lord, even the weakest Christian, when they begin to fall on their knees and cry out to you, the demons begin to tremble. It's not that they're scared of that human being or of their power, but they're scared of the authority behind that prayer. That your prophet told us that when we pray and we ask anything in the name of Jesus, that's the same as Jesus himself asking it. So in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, I bind every demon that would hinder the people, whether it be discouragement or temptation, whether it be, Lord, something in their life that they've hid back that they're struggling with. Lord, we bind it together and agree together in the name of Jesus. We loose them, Lord, tonight from these things that have bound them down. We loose the people, Father, not because we have it in our own ability, but because we have authority as representatives of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, there's no jurisdiction that you're not over. There's no demon that you don't have power over. There's no symptom that you're not able to cure. There's no disease that you're not able to speak out of existence. There's no circumstance that you can't come on the scene and help. Amen. We claim it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know at that name, demons tremble and sinners awake. Oh, how that faith in Jehovah makes everything shake. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to come on the scene tonight and move in a way that only you can. We accept it by faith tonight. We exercise our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Oh, you will find he's not too busy. Oh, to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he is passing by this moment. Your needs, oh, he'll supply. If you'll reach out and touch the Lord. Oh, he can still be touched tonight by the feeling of your infirmities. Oh, just reach out. Touch the Lord. Oh, why don't you exercise your faith tonight? As he goes by, oh, you will find he's not too busy. Oh, he'll hear your heart's cry. Oh, he is passing by this moment. Your needs he'll supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he. Oh, why don't you just raise your hands and sing it to him tonight? Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Oh, you will find he's not too busy. Friend, he'll hear your heart's cry. Oh, he is passing by this moment. Your needs
He'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, I'm learning to lean. Oh, yes, I'm learning to lean. Oh, I'm more power than I
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul,
just
serve you. Yes, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, we just want to serve you. Oh, Jesus, I just want to serve you. And thank you for being so good. Oh, Jesus, I just want to thank you. Oh, Jesus, I just want to thank you. Lord, thank you for being so good.
Let's stand and thank him tonight.
Oh, Jesus, we just want to thank you. Oh, Jesus, we just want to thank you. Just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good.
Let's praise him.
Oh, Jesus, I just want to praise you. Oh, I just want to praise you. Oh, Jesus, I just want to praise you. Lord, praise you for being so good.
Once more like that.
Just want to praise you. Oh, Jesus, I just want to praise you. Oh, Jesus, Lord, I just want to praise you. Lord, praise you. For being so good.
Amen. He loves to hear our praises. Amen. Well, I hope somebody else feels like this tonight. I just feel like he's been blessing us, and I feel like the windows of heaven truly have been open. Amen.
The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on his manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. makes everything right. Gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy.
God bless you. Let's sing it as we go.
Heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave why I'm here.